The Fan on Demand. Go to fan590.com and sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights.
Hell yeah!
He covers Bob McCowan's holidays, which means he's here so often you probably already thought he was a full-time employee.
And now,
on the radio,
The Jeff Blair Show on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
Running with Mike Wilner. Running with Mike Wilner. Now, Mike Wilner joins me in our Toronto studio to discuss the winter meetings with Toronto Blue Jays general manager Alex Anthopoulos, who joins us on the line. Mike, when are you going to Orlando?
I'm going on Sunday. You said, I heard you say that unofficially they open on the weekend, and so I'll miss whatever happens on Saturday and Sunday, wandering around the Dolphin Hotel at Disney World. Were you there last time it was there?
I was unfortunately there.
My great memory of being at it was the Swan and Dolphin, but everything was going on in the Dolphin.
We called it the Moose and Squirrel.
It's a lovely hotel, I'm sure, and the Disney people are very proud, but there are a million places for people to hide in there. And the two biggest things I remember was Barry Bonds parading himself through the lobby on more than one occasion just to show everybody that he was there, and chasing Ted Lilly's agent on the last day. We actually had to run him down outside.
Yeah, Ted Lilly's agent, the last man I've ever seen wearing a leisure suit. Alex Anthopoulos joins us. Alex, thanks so much for taking time out. I know it's a busy day. Probably not as busy as yesterday was, I'm guessing.
No, not at all, but it was interesting to hear you guys talk about the winter meetings at that place. I remember them very well when we were negotiating with Ted Lilly and Gilmesh, and I remember the rooms and the discussions, and I remember Barry Bonds going through there too, so it's all coming back to me.
Do you remember all the hiding places that you're going to be using next week to get away from us?
You know what? I don't. Without the holiday component now, it's going to be a much, I want to say more laid back, but a much cleaner winter meetings. Don't need to hide. It's not as big as a concern. I mean, it was, there was so many factors with that last year, with the full no trade clause and my leverage being nil. I needed to keep as much information close to the vest as I could, as it was the only way I was going to get the best deal that we could.
Good. Well, now that you're going to be open with us, when are you going to sign Russ Martin?
Well, I know there's a lot of names out there, a ton of non-tenders. I will say this, and I noticed it more so last night. We have been linked to more players and rumors than I've ever seen in my life, and more false stories than I've ever seen. And I was talking to somebody else from the club and a player agent about it as well. I know it's just part of the game, but God, we've been linked to so many players and so many things that are so false. And I guess all I would say is that it seems like every day I'm reading about that we're talking to this player, we're negotiating with that player. And at this stage in the off season, other than maybe one occurrence where it's been right, everything else has been way off base.
Well, I heard the AJ Pruszynski stuff last night, and needless to say, Mrs. Blair had to perform serious resuscitation to get me back. That did not go over well.
Yeah, thank you for not making that a real story.
I'll say is with specifics too. I'm sure there'll be some other story about us. Being in talks with a certain player or trade or this today, and if the way the off season has gone, it'll be somebody that I've never spoken to or someone that I've never even engaged, and that will just end up being linked that way. And I'm not, getting specific, but I know it's part of the game, and it just seems like this off season more so than any other, our name's been thrown around all over the place.
Not necessarily a bad thing, is it? I mean, there were a million rumors about who you were getting for Roy Halladay last year, and other general managers read that stuff, and that might affect what they bring to the table.
Well, yeah, and I think with the Halladay stuff, everybody knew that he was available. I mean, everybody knew that he had asked for a trade, and to stay consistent with what I was going to hope to do going forward, I wasn't going to comment on it because you start to pick and choose. Well, I'm going to talk about this player, but I'm not going to talk about the next. It's a tough thing, I think, for the media to follow. It's a tough thing for the fans to follow. But, the Halladay stuff I expected. Everybody knew he was out there. We were in dialogue. I don't mind that. So if we're in dialogue with a certain player, or someone's being shopped, or we're talking about acquiring a player and different rumors and combinations are being thrown out there, that's fair game. But some stuff is just made up entirely, and for some reason they've chosen the Toronto Blue Jays to be the club that they'll use to, whether it's to drive up the price for some other team or to get some other team to move with respect to a trade or all those kind of things. And you know, maybe I'm a little naive with this stuff, but my attitude is just, you know, keep quiet, go below the radar, do your work, and you should be able to get things done if they line up for you.
Alex Anthopoulos joins us on the Fan 590. We're going to take your Jays calls later, 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. We're going to ask you, what would you do if you were Alex Anthopoulos? And I'll ask Alex Anthopoulos what he's going to do as Alex Anthopoulos as well. But before that, you did not tender Jeremy Accardo and Fred Lewis contracts. Can you just explain to us a little bit the reasoning behind that?
Sure. It's you know, we've been looking at our 40-man roster, looking at the flexibility, looking at, you know, you start to really get a sense, especially yesterday was a crazy day. I mean, phones blowing up, agents, teams looking to unload guys that are going to be non-tenders, a lot of things like that. So when we looked at it, we felt like there would be a lot of similar players to Jeremy Accardo on the free agent market, on the non-tender list. You know, Jeremy, through the arbitration process, was already making $1 million. To have to go through the process, you know, most likely you get a raise, you don't normally get cut, is out of options. Looking at your roster flexibility and so on, we felt like there was probably better opportunities for us in the free agent market when you consider the contractual status. Fred did a great job for us last year. We felt it was a strong acquisition. He was a minimum salary player. Now he goes through, he's eligible for arbitration for the first time. Again, with where his salary was going to end up through the arbitration process and what the alternatives are right now as we sit here today, getting a sense of the market and other players that we can go after and the flexibility, it made a lot of sense to cut him loose and to continue to explore things with the free agent market.
Are we ever going to find out what really happened with Jeremy Accardo? I mean, in 2007, the 30 saves, he gets hurt, he spends 08 on the DL, and then most of 2009 on the in AAA, he, I don't know if it was loudly but well reported, throws his Blue Jay hat in the garbage in the clubhouse. And I remember when I asked him, and I wrote about this in the blog that no one can access now, but it is the greatest piece of journalism ever written. When it does come up, check it out. But I remember in 2009, at the end of the season, he was a September call-up. I asked him his votes for the Blue Jays Player of the Year and Pitcher of the Year, and straight-faced, he looked right at me. He goes, Buck Coates, Player of the Year, TJ Beam, Pitcher of the Year, and most pleasant surprises, Aaron Matthews. And you know, he was talking about AAA, and again this year he was vocal about how he felt he had gotten the shaft. Some people thought it was he didn't get along with JP, some people thought he didn't get along with Cito, but both those guys are gone now. So, you know, what happened?
No, very fair, and I know it's, you know, a lot's been talked about, and Jeremy's been a topic. One, like you said, he had that 2 ERA in the 30 save season, and it was unbelievable. And you know, you felt like there was a big ceiling and a big upside to him. And you know, when we acquired him, he was throwing in the mid to high 90s. I remember him hitting 98 miles an hour. Got hurt, unfortunately, when he came back. And I talked to Jeremy about this too, and he had to reinvent himself a little bit. The velocity didn't come back, and again, in 2009, he was up and down in the minor leagues. He had options left. There was players that made it to the roster. And look, there's a lot of times that a club wants to keep its depth. It's one of the most difficult things to acquire in season is either starters or relievers, because everyone's afraid to lose their depth if they do have an injury. It's very hard to make a trade, or if you do, you're going to have to end up paying through the nose. So the guys with options, even if they might be a little bit better than someone that made the team, the club will look at it and say, well, we need to have the best club over 6 months, and let's keep all our depth, and let's keep all our players. Unfortunately, and rightfully so, players don't understand that, because you want them to want to be up here. You want them to believe in themselves. You want them to feel like they should be on the big league team. And that's the way Jeremy felt, and I don't fault him for that at all. And obviously there was things that came out last offseason. His agent came out and said he was upset and felt he should be a non-tender, and I called Jeremy up just to talk to him and just ask him, look, if you have a complaint or an issue, you know, you could see, I have no problem. You know, you're a grown man. You can let everybody know about it. But, you know, as the general manager of this team, I at least need to follow up with a phone call. And he was apologetic and said, yeah, it probably shouldn't have been said, shouldn't have been done. I said, look, Jeremy, come into spring training, do your best to make this club. I'm rooting for you to make this club. I'm not going to hand you the job because you do have an option left. And do your best to make this club. Cito and I talked about it. had an okay spring. I think Fleming maybe had a 5 ERA, but again, it's spring stats. It's a small sample. Really wanted to turn the page and give him a shot. And, you know, unfortunately, it was a short-lived up here. He only pitched 6 innings, but, you know, it was 12 hits and didn't strike too many guys out. And it was an 8 ERA, and Jeremy will tell you he just didn't get enough of a chance, enough rope to get going and get into a groove. And there might certainly be some merit to that, but... Again, when we're up here, we have to focus on winning games and the best players, and he never got back up here. So, rightfully so, Jeremy didn't want to be down there, and I can't blame him. If any player is happy to be in the minor leagues, you got the wrong player. So, it's unfortunate. I wish him the best. I think he's going to do well wherever he ends up. Very driven, motivated guy, and I still think he's got a long career in front of him.
I know you weren't in charge in 2007, 2008, so I'm not going to ask you if a mistake was made, but has there been a lesson learned, maybe? Because if he had been dealt after the 2007 season, he had been the closer, but your closer was coming back, then maybe you get a nice little asset there.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? It's so hard to say. I guess that's part of the evaluation process. I don't think you can ever project on someone getting hurt. You know, if Jeremy, you know, came off a wonderful year, I believe it was only 2 years of service at the time, control him for the next 4. Again, valuable reliever that could save 30 games with a 2 ERA. Health was completely fine. That is great stuff and a great arm. And then, unfortunately, the next year he gets hurt. So can you look back in hindsight and say, well, you know what, you know, you're selling high, buying low, all that kind of stuff? Sure. But, you know, I have to really look back and think, okay, what was the roster in 2007? Was this a team that was on the cusp of the playoffs? And I have to, I mean, all those seasons start to kind of merge a little bit around that time. 6, you know, we acquired Ryan and Burnett and Halliday and so on. So again, you know, and I don't even remember if there was any trade talks or what offers may or may not have been there. But, you know, the value in trade for relievers is not strong. And again, if you're a team that has a chance to win and be competitive, and you have somebody with the stuff that Jeremy had then coming off the year he did, unless you're doing something to strengthen your club, it may not make sense to make that trade.
Alex, what are you looking at going into these meetings? Is there an area in particular you're looking to address?
You know what? There's obviously a lot of areas we can improve, and we have bodies in the bullpen, but again, you know, can we improve the quality? You'd love to go out and get a bona fide closer or someone you feel that's done the job in the past. So that's probably more so than anything else. It would be nice to acquire someone like that. Again, we've obviously asked about a lot of free agents. We've inquired about players in trade. You know, right now, the trades don't line up for us. The dollars and length of years and contracts on some of the relievers for us at this time don't line up with what some of the alternatives are. You know, of course, we're going to look to solidify our bench, but again, that's something that's ongoing. You can continue to tweak that over the course of spring training. You know, you do it over the course of the year. You know, Dwayne Wise didn't start the year with us. Fred Lewis didn't start the year with us. You know, those are all things that evolved over time. So, you know, Jose Molina was someone that we had acquired just before spring training. So the bench is something you can always fill in. But if we have a chance to get someone that we like, we'll certainly look to do that as well. And, you know, probably more important than anything else, continue to look at the long term. And I look at it all the time. I always have my focus on 11. And there's no question our goal is to be as competitive as we can be and continue to work to that club that we feel can compete for a World Series year in and year out. But I'm always constantly aware of where this club stands going forward, a year out, 2 years out, 3 years out, the years of control we have on our players, the age of our players, and where we look like we're going to fill in and what the core players are going to be and trying to plan for those things.
Alex, very quickly before I let you go, we just have a minute. Aaron Hill and Jose Bautista, you've spoken to them. They're all on board with, you know, whatever position moves you have to make, whether it's, you know, Aaron at second or third or Bautista at third and right field. They're on board with that?
Correct. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that I told them both, I'm not going to approach them about position changes unless it makes a lot of sense. So, you know, before we do anything, you know, I'll follow up with them and say, look, we're getting real close to acquiring so-and-so, or I have a real good shot at signing this free agent. John, I talked to them before the season, and I said, I really don't know how the offseason is going to go. I like the fact that I have the flexibility to move you guys around, and they've both been very consistent with the fact of, you know, whatever helps the team win. I think both players, ideally, you're better off staying in a position where you've had success and you've played well. So to move players for the sake of doing it wouldn't make any sense, because these are two of our core players. And, again, it's nice to have the flexibility going into it, but if we do get close to something, obviously I'll follow up with both of them just to confirm that and to let them know exactly what the status is.
Alex, we appreciate your time. I know it's a busy time. Thank you. Safe travels to Orlando, and we'll be talking to you.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Take care. That is Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Blue Jays. Mike Wilner's here. We're taking your calls about the Blue Jays. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-660-0590. Winter meetings are just around the corner. What would you like to see the Blue Jays do?
Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
Now, Wilner, these are good. Mike Wilner's brought in these little chocolate coins. Happy Hanukkah, by the way.
Thank you.
Did I pronounce that right?
Close
enough. Is that a goyish pronunciation?
You know, you got the "h" right, so I'll give you high marks for that.
Okay. Well, give me high marks for that, please.
High marks for that.
No.
Yes, it's day two today. Day two. Yeah.
In all seriousness, if you're celebrating, happy Hanukkah.
And if you're not,
happy Friday. Happy Friday. And we're talking baseball. Mike Wilner riding shotgun. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-660-590. Wilner will be in Orlando at the winter meetings. We had Alex Anthopoulos on at the top of the hour. I mean, giving us a little bit. And at this stage, the day after the non-tender deadline is always kind of a brutal day for general managers, because you know that there's like five things in Alex's brain right now, at least five players that he can't say anything to us.
Yeah, but you know what? As I mentioned, that I put up a blog this morning, and it's unfortunate right now all our Fan 590 blogs are down.
That's because of the Jeff Blair Show, Andy Sportsman of the Year poll that's going on Fan590.com. It's crashed the system.
Well, I can understand that. Although it was giving me trouble at 7:30 in the morning too, so I don't know if it's quite that. But I went over a couple of names on the non-tenders that the Blue Jays might be interested in, and you know, there's Bobby Jenks out there, but I don't think he's. I think he's going to make some money.
He'll make some money.
The Jays aren't interested.
Well, actually, no, they're interested. They'll talk, but...
Well, I mean, they're not interested at that cash.
Oh, no, not that. No.
There's Russ Martin, who you were the first person ever to mention him to me way before he even made the Dodgers. Keep your eye on this guy, and you were absolutely right. But
his hip is completely buggered. That's the only issue.
But he can still get on base, and you know, he's a guy who you might take a look at. And I love that Alex looks at, well, before we get to that, Matt Diaz. This team could not hit left-handers to save their lives last year.
One of the first names I saw that I circled.
Guy hits like 400 against lefties every year, and he's not a terrible defensive corner outfielder, but you sneak him in there and it'll be all right. But Alex likes the guys who, you know, were highly touted, had great potential, and for whatever reason have fallen out of favor. You see Lasting's millage, Andrew Miller. Even Tony Gwynn Jr., these are guys who are kind of floating out there, and I understand the Jays don't need outfielders, and two of those guys are outfielders, but they're very intriguing guys.
Lasting's millage would, you know, as a reserve guy, would interest me. And I know that a lot of people in the organization have followed. I mean, certainly there's a tie-in with all the ex-Washington Nationals people in the organization. Of course, Tony LaCava knows him very well as well. We got some calls here. We're going to get to your calls. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-660-590. We're talking Jays, but, I mean, if there's another issue you want to talk about, Mariano Rivera and the Yankees apparently have come to an agreement on a two-year contract worth about $30 million.
Stunner. Who knew? Who thought Rivera would go back to the Yankees?
Shocked me. I had him. I had him ticketed for the Florida Marlins. Anyhow, you can call up. We can talk about the Yankees, Red Sox, whomever. Not just the Blue Jays, but Pat and Kitchener. You're the first up.
Hi guys. I have a question about the catching situation. I'm so torn about the Jose Molina. I listened to Alden Ashby all year, and he just ripped him left, right, and center about his covering of the pass balls, and so many of the pitchers, you know, have those the splitters and the balls in the dirt. But on the other end, he was amazing with Morrow. And then on the other side, we've got Aaron Sebia. And there seems to be like this fear about this guy after he's been touted all the way up. What's the story? Where are we going?
Do you want to go first, Mike?
Well, first of all, Jose Molina was just awful at blocking balls in the dirt this year. And you're right, with guys like Ricky Romero, even Brandon Morrow, who put a lot of pitches down there, you got to get down, and the effort just wasn't there. So I'm right there with Alan Ashby as far as that's concerned. This notion that Molina did a great job with Brandon Morrow, I don't really understand it. Morrow never pitched to anybody else, and he wanted to, and he asked to, but Cito kept running him out there because it was going well. We don't know how much Jose Molina had to do with Brandon Morrow, or how much Brandon Morrow had to do with Brandon Morrow. So I think you dismiss that unless, you know, he throws to somebody else next season and completely falls apart, and then he's great again with Molina back there. And the Aaron Sebia thing, the ludicrosity of this notion that in three starts pitchers gave up whatever 26 runs with him catching is his fault. It's one of the dumbest things that I heard all season.
But you know
long.
What? But it was. I mean, I can tell you that it was talked about in the
clubhouse.
I know
it was talked
clubhouse.
About, and
it is ludicrous,
it was ridiculous.
Yes.
I mean, you would think these guys would know better than that. And then, you know, in September, I'm trying to remember who the four starters Aaron Sebia started against in September, but they were all Cy Young.
Yes. Well, James Shields was the one guy.
In September he only got four starts, and it was Sabathia, Felix Hernandez, Buchholz, and somebody else who was in the top five for the Cy Young. So, yeah, he went 0-12 in September, but, you know, what rookie could possibly have succeeded in those circumstances?
Yeah, and I think one thing we've seen this offseason is there does appear to be a little bit more clarity with J.P. Arencibia's status. Mm-hmm. And I think the only thing I can see happening, the only way he doesn't make the team is if he does not have a good spring training, I can see them starting him off in the minors and then bringing him up as soon as he's ready.
But bringing in another catcher, because they're not going to go opening day with Jose Molina catching 5 days a week.
No, they're definitely not. There's absolutely no way that's going to happen. Jose Molina is at best your second or third catcher. So there may be a move to be made there. And I don't know with Miguel Oliva. I don't know what's...
I have a feeling he's going back to Colorado.
Transpired there.
They wanted the draft pick. They paid $500,000 for the draft pick, and they've got it unless they bring him back. I think it was all, well, Oliva or Buck, we like them both. Sure, they like them both, but they like the draft picks better.
Right. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Mark in Brampton, you're on with Mike Wilner and Jeff Blair.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I've talked to you both before about the getting Adrian Gonzalez, but I won't beat that to death. I was just wondering... regarding the what are they going to do for the bullpen, and I hear Alex talk, and he just gives me the sense that they're just going to stay the course and not do anything major. What do you guys get that same sense, or what's your sense?
You know, Alex will go after a free agent closer. They'll kick the tires on Bobby Jenks. It's probably going to cost too much. Alex would like to sign a guy for a year and an option, very much like to do what he did with Kevin Gregg last year. I don't see him blowing the doors off anybody to get a closer in. Frankly, I don't even see him necessarily trading for a long-term answer as a closer, because I think they feel they have internal candidates. I mean, if they're going to trade for a guy who might be a closer in 2 years, well, they've got Stewart.
Right. And if they want to use him as a starter, that's one thing.
Exactly.
But they could also make him a closer, too. Yeah, I agree with you completely. I think we're going to see a Kevin Gregg type come in to compete for the closer's job with Jason Fraser and with maybe David Percy.
I mean, it could be a Jesse Crane or a Matt Greer or John Rock, a guy like that could possibly be a candidate.
Yeah, I'm looking down at the list of free agents, and Alfredo Aceves was just non-tender, but he's coming off of surgery. They obviously, I don't think they're going to go after a big guy either, and they'll go after a guy who they think they may be able to turn around late in the season. Maybe you look at a Danny Wheeler, maybe you look at a...
Jonathan Papelbon.
He just jumped out. Well, there's a trade you're going to have to make. Kyle Farnsworth,
yeah, or Farnsworth
is a guy
yeah.
who's very highly regarded as a clubhouse guy, not so much on the field, but someone who could close for you for half a year. Jesse Crane, Juan Cruz, Manny Corpus. There are guys out there.
There are guys you could bring in. And as Mike said, you know, you bring them in and you see what you have, and you see what develops in your farm system as well, and then you can always move them at the deadline. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, Alex, you're going to see Alex do that. I mean,
Chris Ray.
Exactly. There are guys out there. The bullpen, you know, the bullpen doesn't concern me that much, only because I'm frankly glad that Kevin Gregg's gone. My biggest concern about the bullpen was Kevin Gregg, was having him back, because I hated seeing him pitch in the American League East. And I harped on and on about this, and I just wanted him gone.
He got the job done far, far, far more often than not, but it was so ugly.
It was.
You were never felt comfortable, and his problem was that he couldn't throw strikes, and that's the worst thing that a closer can do. And they paid 2.75 or something for him last year. You got a first-round draft pick
Absolutely.
Out of it, and well done.
Full value.
Yep.
Dave in Toronto, you're on the Fan 590.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Fire away.
I actually think that the club, and I'm interested to hear what Mr. Wilner has to say, that potentially with the amount of holes that there are to fill on this club, bullpen, the corner, infield positions, outfield still a question mark behind the plate, and then maybe a sophomore slump for Morrow and Cecil, that 500 is optimistic for this club next year.
Yeah, I don't have a huge problem with that. I don't think there are as many holes to fill as you think, and Morrow and Cecil are not sophomores. Morrow's probably going into his fifth season in the major leagues, fourth, and Cecil will be his third year. He was here for quite a bit in 2009. There aren't any holes in the outfield as far as I'm concerned. Snyder, Wells, Bautista is your outfield. You have an issue at third that Bautista might have to come in. Hill might have to move over. You have an issue at first. You want Lind and Hill to get back to what they were before. But is it going to be a linear progression from 75 wins to 85 wins to 88 to 92 wins next year? I doubt that very much. I think pitchers will slip back a bit. No one at this time last year was saying, what if Adam Lind and Aaron Hill have terrible years? Someone's going to have a terrible year next year. That's just the way it works.
That to me is, and we may be in the minority. I may be in the minority, but I mean, I've been telling people, Aaron Hill and Adam Lind's season, I forgot about that as soon as the year was over, their offensive seasons, because I think they'll be back. I've seen nothing, and I think I know those two guys well enough to know that. It just happened. That was a slump. That was two guys having a slump. I think they'll be back. And that, to me, that's a thing. If you get those two guys back to even average, average Aaron Hill, average Adam Lind, you have to feel better about the team going in. Will they win more games? I'm with Mike. I think you have to expect almost a regression to the mean on a lot of players' parts. But I also expect a progression back to the mean on the part of Hill and Lind. And if that happens, I could see them winning a couple more games than they did this year, maybe a few more, but, are they going to win the division? Boy.
Yeah, and Tampa's going to be more vulnerable, and Boston may well be more vulnerable as well. And if if Andy Pettit retires, the Yankees have no pitching at all if they don't get Cliff Lee.
The Yankees are, as I'm sitting looking at things right now, and I know you never want to predict standings at this point in the year, but I got to tell you, I think the Yankees are the third best team in this division right now.
They may well be, but we have to see what happens too with how many moves they make, how many moves Boston makes. But as far as the Blue Jays go, it just seems, we know Bautista's going to slip back. He's not going to have the same year. Vernon may slip back a bit, but Lind and Hill and Escobar are all due to have better years.
Yeah,
and so, but I don't think it's, hey, they're at 85 wins, they're ready to win 95 just yet.
No, I think they could win a few more games, but I'm with you, Mike. I don't think you're going to see 95 wins at all. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. We're taking your calls about the Blue Jays. Mike Wilner is with us for the next segment.
All the sports info as it happens. Constant updates online at fan590.com. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
I'm happy now. I found my gelt.
It's always tough when you lose that stuff.
I know. I dropped my my kosher chocolate coin. Mike Wilner giving me a Hanukkah gift. That's pretty good stuff.
That's good stuff, huh?
It is bitter. Yeah, it's good. I saved the big one
good
for the
for
end.
Good for you, too. It's dark, bittersweet chocolate. That's the kind of chocolate that's good for you.
It's great for your prostate.
All right.
416-8... It is. Bitter chocolate. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Hey, when you're my age, you worry about stuff like that.
Got to wait a few years.
Jeff and Scarborough on the Fan 590 with Mike Wilner.
Oh, boys. Thanks for taking my call. I want to start by saying what a great time to be a Blue Jays fan right now.
It's kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's December 3rd, and your phone lines are jammed talking about baseball. I think it's great, especially with the nightmare that's going on in MLSE right now. I wanted to give a call, actually, to ask you guys about Upton. I was just curious. I mean, he's a young player with such a great upside, and he's obviously performed well over the last couple of years. I'm curious to know a little bit about his character and why Arizona would even consider moving this guy. He seems like a guy that they would want to build around. And if he does have a kind of a flimsy character, do you think that could potentially hurt the Blue Jays' chemistry? Thanks a lot.
Well, I mean, I don't think he's coming here to begin with.
Yeah, I've never met him, so I can't comment on any chemical issues that he may or may not have. Yeah.
Everything
I think
I've been told
comes from his brother.
Yeah, everything I've been told is that, you know, he's not at all like his brother. I think, and Mike and I talked a bit about this off the air. I think what's happened here is, you know, Arizona probably has got a sense of what teams are talking about when it comes to Carl Crawford. And frankly, I think they said, you know what, maybe we'll put Justin Upton out there and see, maybe somebody would overpay for him as opposed to Carl Crawford. They put his name out there. I'm sure they've probably got a list of offers from four or five teams, and now they'll wait and see what happens. I mean, Carl Crawford's only going to go to one team.
Right.
There's at least three big teams that are interested in him. So maybe the Diamondbacks will wait and see where Crawford signs. And then, for example, if he signs with Boston, they can approach the Anaheim Angels and say, okay, let's talk about Justin Upton again. I think that was pretty clearly what they were intending. I don't think they were dumping the guy.
No, I don't either. I thought maybe that Kevin Towers, realizing that the NL West is the NL West, kind of felt like he wanted to put his stamp on the team and win the division in 2011. So if he can get better for next year, he'll give up the 13, 14, 15 that he would have gotten from Justin Upton to do that. And obviously he hasn't gotten that offer yet, but a lot of it may depend too on Carl Crawford a lot, because people see them as similar players. I think Upton, first of all, he's only 23 years old,
yeah.
But he gets on base more than Crawford already. He's got more power than Crawford. He doesn't steal as many bases, and he's just as good an outfielder. So I think Upton, in the long run, is probably a better investment than Carl Crawford, but Crawford is the guy who's got the much better track record and who can help a team get where it needs to go right away.
Yeah, and of course the thing is, too, as a free agent, big money teams don't mind spending money for a guy. They'd rather do that than have to give up a prospect or, you know, give up another position player, somebody else off their roster. So I think that's what's going to happen, is he's out there. And, you know, the Diamondbacks have an idea now of what he's worth. And once Carl Crawford signs, you'll see the Diamondbacks approach. It's like musical chairs. They approach the teams that were left standing. James in Toronto, you're on the Fan 590.
Just to follow up that thought, I think the Jays can actually afford to go after Upton, and I'd love to see them do it. But I think I have the Jays' solution at catcher for the upcoming season. He's a hometown boy who was not offered a contract last night. Russell Martin, just wondering what you guys think of this, if you could speculate as to the chances of him coming over to Toronto, and, you know, if you think it's a good fit, you know, whatever, just thanks a lot. I'll hang up and listen to what you have to say.
Don't hang up.
No, don't hang up.
Don't hang up, because I want to ask you something.
Yes.
Why is Russell Martin the answer at catcher more so than a guy like a J.P. Arencibia?
Well, I just think the three of the guys combined, Martin, obviously there might not be enough play time to go through, but the three guys, Molina, Arencibia, and Martin, I just think that Martin could give sufficient insulation to Arencibia, whereas, you know, Molina, although he did it with the bat last year, just, you know, he hasn't consistently done it with the bat. Now, obviously, Martin's coming off injuries and stuff, so, you know, that would also give him some insulation. You know, the three guys would obviously have to split a bunch of playing time. Some of them would have to play at DH too. But I just think that the three guys could insulate each other well enough to sort of make up for the lack of production from Molina, the injury rebound from Martin, and, you know, the lack of experience from Arencibia.
The problem with Martin is it's a hip injury. A lot of people think that ultimately he'll have to move out from behind the plate, and the same people that tell you that will tell you that his bat, based on what they saw last year, just does not play at any other position. At one point, there was talk of Russ Martin maybe moving to third or even short within the Dodgers organization. But, you know, based on what we've seen of him offensively last year, and frankly the year before, he tailed off dramatically.
Mm-hmm. The power's gone. He plays in L.A., but the 12 home runs in 2 years.
If Russ Martin wants to come here for 1 year and a ton of incentives, and an option for next year, a club option, then maybe you do it. But I don't bring him in, frankly, expecting anything other than a number two or number three guy this year. And, you know, Russ may, in fact, just decide to stay. He may just decide to stay out in the West Coast and just, you know, and stay out there. But it's clear that the Russ Martin that we saw 2 or 3 years ago isn't the Russ Martin that exists now. And as Mike Wilner pointed out, the power's gone.
It's gone.
It's disappeared.
And if you want to, you know, if you want a power resurgence, you go from L.A. to Toronto. It's a much, much, much better power park. But yeah, I'm with you. I think Russ Martin's a guy I'm comfortable with as a starter if Aaron Cebia has to go down for some reason, way more than Jose Molina.
Exactly.
But as a babysitter and the one plus option, that whole Alex Gonzalez type deal, the deal they tried to make with John Buck, fine. But if you're looking for Russ Martin as your solution behind the plate, you got to look somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, we don't... Russ Martin's
agent. I love Russ Martin.
I do too. Russ Martin's agent is telling people that, you know, that the injury, that the rehab is going fine and everything. But, I mean, there's a lot of. One thing about Russ Martin, and I can remember watching him with the Dodgers. I can remember being there, and I specifically remember Luis Gonzalez and Joe Torre both saying the same thing. You know, this guy has no sense of self-preservation when he plays the game. He slides head first. I mean, you watch him block the plate. He had, you know, I mean, his body absorbed so much punishment, plus he caught every day, that at some point you just wonder, this may be a case of a guy whose body is just completely, totally broken down.
He caught 400 and, trying to do quick math in my head, which doesn't always work, he caught about 430 games in 3 years.
That's an astounding number.
Yeah.
An astounding number. And, you know, and he hit in the middle of the order, and for a while he's hitting at the top of the order, and he ran the bases. I mean, as I said, there's a lot of miles in that body. Diego in Mississauga, you're on with Jeff Blair and Mike Wilner.
Hey, guys, a quick question about the new manager, John Farrell. And I don't know too much about him, so just wondering if you guys can give me an idea of his coaching style, maybe how it differs from Cito.
He'll be more proactive than Cito. I've talked to a couple of people who know him and who've more importantly, people who have spoken to him about how he's going to manage, and they both told me he will be really proactive. They're going to, you know, that plus the having Don Wakamatsu along, they're going to be really proactive in the base pass. They're going to do a lot of stuff.
And, you know, they have Rajay Davis right now, who if he winds up as a full-time player, and I don't think the Jays are looking at him right now as a full-time player, but if eventually he winds up that, he will break the club's stolen base record.
Oh, without question.
60, I think very easily. I am waiting to see, because John Farrell's never managed a game outside of university, so I'm waiting to see what he does as a pro, but I really think we're going to see a lot more movement. We're going to see some attempts to tack on runs. We're not going to see as much sitting back and waiting. You have to play with the team that you have, and you know we learned last year.
You're not going to say, Jose, don't hit a home run,
right? And you're not going to say, Jose Bautista, go up there and bunt for me, or if Edwin Encarnacion winds up here, you're never going to tell him to go up and bunt. But we are going to see guys moving, and I think, you know, the days of the Blue Jays stolen base leader with 13 and the next guy with 7 are behind us.
Yeah, they are definitely. And again, you know, Torrey Lovallo and Don Wakamatsu. Torrey Lovallo especially is going to have a lot. John Farrell's going to rely on their game managing an awful lot. And Lovallo's reputation is as a guy who's pretty aggressive. Bob and Kitchener, you're on the Fan 590.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Hi, Bob.
I got a question for you. If you were GM, I don't know anything about this guy. Would you go after that, was it Beltre in Boston, to play third base?
If he wants to pay him 160 odd million.
Adrian Beltre's had 2 good years in his entire career. But, 2 good years in like an 11-year career, and and they've come in 2 of his 3 walk years.
Exactly, and he's out of their price
okay,
range.
Okay, that's all.
Great defender, though.
Center fielder they picked up. Why would you think about platooning him and Vern in third at center field and making Vern your DH for about, I don't know, 65, 70 games? Because he seems to have trouble with his
You can't
legs.
Do that to Vernon Wells.
Yeah, you can't.
You just can't. Yet. But you know what I thought, Jeff? And last year when the Angels brought up Peter Borges and said to Torrey Hunter, this guy's playing center. You're going to play right. This guy's playing center. And Hunter was like, oh, well, all right. And Borges came and played a hell of a center field. I don't think, and if Vernon's listening, I know he's not going to like this. I'm sorry. But I don't think there's any
question.
No, you're
not. You don't give a damn.
That Rajai Davis is a better defensive center fielder than Vernon Wells.
But
he won't play center field.
No.
But should he?
I mean, Vernon's got a long-term contract now, but next year is the decision.
Yeah, like he's going to walk away from three
years
and $68 million.
Yeah, he's got enough of a comfort zone that again, I think it's a little bit like Batista and Aaron Hill. If the case can be made that we're moving you over here because this makes the team better, honestly, I think Vernon probably does it.
I think Vernon probably does it.
I think most of the guys in this team would do it. Most of the guys who've come up within this organization, I think, would do it.
If Rajai Davis is an everyday player for the Blue Jays next year and he's playing left, that's a mistake. If he's the fourth outfielder, fine.
Absolutely. No, that's entirely right. He should not be the starting left fielder. That should be Travis Snyder.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying if Davis is in left, then Snyder's in right and Vernon's in center.
But
I'm saying that if Davis plays every day, Vernon should be in left.
Yeah. Sebastian, you're on the Fan 590.
How you doing, Mike Wilner? Glad to hear your voice. Getting excited about baseball. Just wondering what the chances of us signing Ramirez between Wells and Bautista as a triple threat and keep going with the long ball issue.
I have to be true to myself, and I have to say that the chances of us signing Manny Ramirez are not good.
Mike and I have got some gelt here. Maybe we could...
I don't think that... Well, you never know with Manny. He might take it.
He might take it. Oh, that looks good.
But I think that we'll find out much later in the offseason about Manny Ramirez. He's going to be one of those guys who waits and who the Blue Jays wait on. They're going to see who slips through the cracks. You know, maybe Carlos Pena, Manny, guys like that, Jim Thome, who are still looking for the job when the music stops. We know Manny loves it here. He wants to come here.
Manny Farrell has a friend
him.
Here.
Yes, Manny has a friend. I speculated about that, and it turns out it's right. He has a girl here. He'd love to be here. The Blue Jays would love to have him at the right price. But that means that they're married to Adam Lind as an everyday first baseman. That's fine with me.
Yeah, I'm with Mike. I have no problem having Adam Lind as a first baseman. Listen, Mike's going to be down at the winter meetings this week, so we'll be talking a ton of baseball. This is the place to talk baseball in Toronto. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back on Monday, and as I said, we'll be talking baseball as well as, I'm sure, dealing with the latest Leaf crisis. There's never any shortage of Leafs. No, we won't be asking you about that. Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend.